Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, this is Richard Christie, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Christy Hemme, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Chris.
And Maria from In This Moment, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
All right. Hey, this is Chris from Lamb of God, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hello, this is Tony Iommi, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey, this is Devin Townsend from Strapping Young Lad, and you are listening to Talking Metal.
Hi, this is Mark Cimino with the Devin Townsend Project, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Cool.
Hey, welcome to Talking Metal. We are checking in with you guys from Midtown Manhattan, where it is pouring rain outside.
Totally pouring down rain.
Yeah.
And the wind is extremely heavy as well. Weather report brought to you by TalkingMetal.com.
Right, that's right. Hey, let's get right into a letter. This one is from Amir. I'm not exactly sure how he pronounces it. But hey, Mark and John. I am Fadl from Egypt. Oh, I guess, yeah, Amir Fadl. I'm probably butchering your name, dude. I'm sorry, but hey, Mark and John, I am Fadl from Egypt, and I am a big fan of your show. It was about 3 years ago when I typed the keyword metal into iTunes podcast search, not knowing what to expect, that I stumbled upon your show and have been a fan ever since. I especially enjoy listening to interviews with musicians whom I hold in high regard, to find that they are sincerely warm and down to earth. Michael Ackerfeld and Serge Tankian come to mind. I was wondering if you knew any good rock review sites that you could share with your listeners. I know metal-temple.com is a good one for metal because they review lots of new releases and update frequently. Thanks for the show and keep up the good work. Sincerely, Fadl. Fadl.
Thank you, Fadl.
Fadil, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. It always really means a lot to me when I see that we've got listeners all over the world, man.
Really, and yeah.
It's really cool. Thank you very much. It means a lot to us. And like I said, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for all of you guys. And we thank you for your support. And let's try to think of some sites. I mean,
yeah, Blabbermouth. About.com.
About.com, yeah,
that our friend Chad runs is just great. We'll actually link that through the show notes. I know is linked through my blog, markstriegel.net. He does a great job with reviews and just read a review. Actually, and he does interviews, too. I just read an interview with the band Psy up there and went and bought their new record online because of that interview. Chad does a great job, and About.com, I mean, is a really big website. One of the biggest websites
out there.
And they
review, like, I mean, they have sections for all different kind of things.
Yeah.
Shad does, like, the heavy metal part of it.
Right. Yeah. Just turn the mic a little. I'm losing you just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, Shad does the metal part of it.
Right, definitely. I would also recommend Brave Words.
Yes.
Yeah. Does Blabbermouth do
reviews? Blabbermouth does reviews as well. Yeah. See, I generally... I'm always checking the news and all the breaking news on Blabbermouth, but they have a lot of other content as well.
Yeah, they do, yeah, because I usually read the reviews on About.com and Brave Words. Blabbermouth, I used more for the news. Right. But, yeah, John is right. They do have reviews. We used to kind of have reviews, but we kind of let that go. Oh, well. But maybe the listeners know. You know, if you go to our talkingmetalforums.com, you could post a question there. Hey, where's the best site for reviews? I know a lot of the guys even review their favorite concerts right on the Talking Metal forums. So it's definitely worth checking that out. Of course, the password is the name of a classic metal song that John and I once jammed with Corey Clark, Richard Christie, and Eddie Ojeda. We did that on our TV show.
Correct.
So if you know the name of that song, that's the password to get onto the forums and register as a user. So anyways, one of my favorite records, I'm going to say of 2010, because I realize it came out at the end of 2009, but I really didn't start getting into it until January of this year, is Addicted by Devin Townsend Project. An amazing record. So many catchy songs. The production is insane. The vocals are insane. The guitar playing is insane. The drum, listen to the drums. This guy is an incredible monster. And anyways, Mark, who recorded the record with Devin, is on the podcast today.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark Cimino, what a great guy. One of the nicest people. We've been so lucky that all of the people that, you know, we're fans of have always been cool to Talking Metal, and Mark is no exception. He is just a great guy. He is a New Yorker. He lives on Long Island, and he stopped by with his friend Robert from D'Addario, and Mark, who is one of the people that works with Devin's label, and we just had a blast, and we hung out.
Two Marks were there.
Actually, three Marks, counting you.
Yeah.
Three
well,
Marks.
That's true. Yep.
And Mark Cimino, he brought his guitar in, and I've known Mark Cimino through Gibson Guitars and the work I do with them, and he's just a great guy and a great musician. I mean, to play with Devin and to play with Steve Vai, which Mark had done prior to playing with Devin, and that's how those guys actually met. You know, you got to have your chops down for that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I was watching the channel Palladia, which is a HD MTV Networks channel, and there was a Steve Vai concert on last night. And it just, you know, there's another level of musicianship when you get that good.
Yeah, no, there is, definitely.
Even with these drummers.
And you and I will never get there.
Yeah. Well, you're a good guitar player, Mike.
No, so are you, man.
I'm all right as a rhythm guitar player, but even drums.
But those guys are beyond good.
Yeah, they're out of control. And, like, here's the other thing. Like, there were drummers, like, back in the day that I think are good drummers, like Joey Kramer and Eric Carr and, you know, those are some of my favorite drummers. Mick Brown, guys like that. But then you've got these guys like Richard Christie and Ron Lipnicki who are just powerhouse guys.
Yeah.
And then you've got these crazy fusion guys that are a combination of everybody. And it's just crazy the musicianship that's out there.
Yeah,
and
it really
sometimes
is.
You know, I love listening to it, but then I start to feel sad.
Yeah. Anyways, this is a song that Mark was involved with. It is a song called Pig by Steve Vai. And you'll hear Devin on this song. So let's get into that, and then maybe we'll go right into the interview with Mark after that, play
Sounds
some music,
good.
And then come back and wrap things up.
Sounds like a plan.
Here's the interview, or here's Pig by Steve Vai, followed by the interview.
Try to get me. You're listening to Talking Metal Live. I've got a special mic right now. Do you hear that?
It's hot, man.
It's a very hot mic.
I'm talking through a tissue to disguise my voice to all the ladies listening.
Hey, the
I'm
show
in disguise.
Is turning out to be one of those classic Talking Metal episodes.
Yes.
We got to keep it together because we've got some cool guests here in the studio now, and then we've got, of course, Carmine Appice coming up. But right now, we have a gang of people led by Mark Cimino of a bunch of bands. You guys may know him from working with Steve Vai, currently working with the Devin Townsend Project, and he has something cool called Big and Shiny. He's going to talk about all three of those things plus more. Mark, what's happening, man? And you got to get real close.
How's it going, guys? It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
You bet, Mark. Thank you for joining us. Let's start off with the exciting news that, you know, you and Devin have a new record out called Addicted, which is a lot of the you know, Devin Townsend fans have been really excited about this record because coming off a Key, which was kind of mellow, not a bad record
in any way,
but a departure. This is, you know, a lot of that great melodic heaviness that, you know, his fans love so much. And was there a conscious effort to go back towards that when you guys were doing this, or did it kind of just come out that way?
I mean, in all fairness, this is Devin's thing. You know, it's like Devin is an entity that he can get this all done by himself. Like, he doesn't really, I feel that when I went to do the record, he wants people around him for recordings. It's, creates a vibe for him, and his vibe is very important when he's working, as a lot of musicians are. You know, if you're not comfortable, it's not going to come out. But Dev is one of those guys that, yeah, he creates things in the studio, but he knows what that record's going to sound like when it's done before he does the first thing.
Wow.
He has such a vision, and I'll tell you, it's like very intimidating, to say the least. The first time I actually worked with him on any of his music, when I was with Steve Vai initially, that's how I met Dev.
Mm-hmm.
We were roommates in LA for 3 years during the recording of the Sex and Religion record.
Sure.
And we got to know each other pretty quick. It was guerrilla style and we hit it off. But other than that time, musically, we never did anything together.
Okay.
Ever. And a big reason for that too is I'm not typically, and I don't want to say this on the show and have people start throwing stuff at me, but like, I'm not the big metal dude. Like, Dev is like,
yeah,
you know, Mr. Metal, you know, they design characters on Metalocalypse. Is the drummer is Dev, you know?
Okay.
And he's got a big personality, he casts a big shadow, but like, you work with him and he is the most laid back and gracious person. Like, when you see a video of Devin on YouTube or something, man, you don't know what to think because he's got like so many different styles and so many things he's doing well. But he's a really great person and he's hilarious, man. He is a funny person, sarcastic and cutting at times, but in a very funny way, you know? I had a great time. It was the best experience I've ever had making a record before.
Very cool. Now, when you talk about the back to the Steve Vai days, what year are we talking about? Sex and Religion, what was that?
92, 93. I met Devin in 90. He came out to L.A. He had sent a demo tape of his demo at the time was, Noisecapes, it was called.
Okay.
It was like the first thing he did. And it was like almost like an Operation Mindcrime, like meets Ministry, like apocalyptic sounding thing.
Okay.
As I'm sure you could imagine doing, right? Him and a drummer, they did all of the music. He was like 18 at the time, right?
Wow.
And the stuff was so ahead of its time. And I remember Steve was looking for a singer at the time for Sex and Religion. And he looked at everybody. I mean, there were people sending him, you know, Eddie Vedder. And like, Eddie Vedder probably wouldn't have done his record, but he was looking at Eddie Vedder and Chris Cornell and all these guys who were popular. And Dev, Cliff Coltrary, who was the head of Relativity Records, which is what Steve was on at the time, received a demo from Devin. And he had sent demos out to all the labels wrapped in his underwear. So people
gimmick,
would, you're going to get it. And you're like, bro, it's this guy's underwear, you know? So Steve got it. We got a big kick out of it. And when we listened to the demo, we were like blown away.
Mm-hmm.
People were just sitting there like, what the hell is this? Like, I've never heard anything like this before.
Right.
So we had Devin come out and sing on some demos. And the next thing you know, Dev was in the band. He moved in with me. And we lived together for 3 years, rehearsed, recorded the record. And he ended up going on tour with Steve. And I left before that. My mom was had cancer back here in New York, so okay. I moved back to New York.
I gotcha. And to kind of complete the story, how did you first come in contact with Steve Vai? How did you meet him or get to know him?
We're both where Steve grew up and where I live is about 10 minutes away, right? He lived in a town called Carl Place, right, where his family still is, and I'm from New Hyde Park. Mm. So just 10 minutes down the road, right? And years ago, there was a guy named Joe DeSpagny who owned a company called Gem Guitars. And that's where the
That's where the Gem comes from? The name Gem comes
yeah,
from that? Wow.
He was one of Steve's very good friends. And Joe was like a... He was a jack of all trades. He was, you know, he made these cool looking guitars, and he was great at painting and stuff. And like, he made that flame guitar for Steve. Remember? From
oh, okay. I remember that. Days. That's a killer and guitar.
There was like a green Swiss cheese guitar from like the Yankee Rose video. Yeah. This is before he started working with Ibanez. And then between Skyscraper between Eat 'Em and Smile and Skyscraper,
right,
he started working with Ibanez. And they took these ideas. Steve asked Joe, you know, can you cut this handle in this guitar for me? I want to do these things with it. So basically what they did was they took the Gem name and they called it the Ibanez Gem. And Steve kind of, you know, Joe had a bunch of helped in the development of it. And Steve obviously had just about everything to say about it. So he kind of threw Joe a bone, which he deserved. Mm-hmm. And I met Joe. Because I was like, oh, man, that guy builds guitars for Steve Vai. You know, it's right, the coolest thing in the world. I got to have him paint my guitar for me, right? So all of us, me and all my friends, Rob, and like we all started going to Joe, and he was making our guitars. And it was just cool to be associated with somebody who was new Steve. You know, we were like 15, 16 at the time.
Wow.
And what ended up happening is I met Steve's mom and dad haphazardly. And I had built a guitar. A friend of mine who's like, fabulous, it's carving and everything. We made this Passion and Warfare guitar, a 7-string, and we sent it to Steve, not thinking we'd get any response about it, but he saw it and he loved it.
Oh, wow.
So he contacted Ibanez in Pennsylvania, and he said, this guy's going to come out. He made this body, and I want you guys to give him all the parts and let him put the guitar together. So I went to like Ben Salem. Yeah,
that's
it was
killer.
Really cool because I went there, and the guys were like, who is this jerk kid? You know what I mean? Like, we're Ibanez. Who are you, you know? And I said, I'm a jerk. You're right. I just made this. And they were blown away by it. And we ended up putting the guitar together. And, of course, there was never a Passion and Warfare tour. But I wish there was, because that, to me, was like, that was like the height of Steve's thing for me, you know, personally. And I got to play a couple of shows with him behind that record. But it wasn't really a tour by any means. One of them was... called the Freedom Jam, and it was at the Shrine Auditorium, and it was to protest the helmet law in L.A.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it was like every band that rides a motorcycle played at that thing.
Wow.
It was the first real gig. It was like 17,000 people there.
Wow.
The first big show I ever played.
That's cool, man.
And Steve is like, oh, this is my friend Mark on rhythm. He's never played in front of an audience before.
Right.
I was like, you know, I felt like I just got out of cold water after he said that, so.
Amazing, man. You brought a guitar with you today. Show us, I know the listeners can't hear it, but you can describe it, and we're going to get this on video.
This is, I've actually been working with a company, 30th Street Guitars in New York City.
Sure.
They're known for vintage, you know, for their vintage instruments. They don't really sell new stuff there, but the owner of the place, and Matt Brewster, his name is, he does all the repairs there, and he's there all the time. He's probably in top three smartest dudes I know. And his just sense of what someone wants in a guitar, you can go, and he has his own guitars. They're called Rust is the name of them. And, you know, it's his proprietary line there. And you go there, and he's probably got a half a dozen of them out at any time. And he just makes them what he feels like making them. Different colors, different pick guards, different pickups, depending on the woods and stuff. And they're just the most natural, amazing feeling guitars. And, I don't know, I got a little spoiled when I was with Steve. Ibanez gave me a deal, and they were making some guitars like exactly what I wanted. After that, I just felt like every guitar I picked up, I couldn't play it. And when somebody would be like, hey, you want to play? I always say, oh, I don't have my guitar. And it's the biggest excuse for any musician, you know? I don't have my guitar with me. But I got so used to the things that I liked, and I became a baby about it, I think. And this is it, man. I wish that everybody could hear this, could play this guitar, because they'd probably go buy one. It's just so natural feeling. It's like a Strat Natelli mixed. and it's a Gibson
scale.
You have
three single coils in that, right?
Well, the bridge is actually it's a humbucker. It's a DiMarzio. It's a stacked
in the
humbucker.
Shape of a single coil.
Yeah, it looks like an old guitar, but it's like it's cool because you fly under the radar with it. It's like you plug it in, and it doesn't sound like it looks kind of, you know.
I think it looks great.
It looks awesome.
Beautiful.
And Mark, you have another guitar that if you guys go to Devin's MySpace page, you will see a picture of the Devin Townsend Project, and you have a Les Paul that has a lot of history to it. One of it is that it was burned up, and then you can finish the story.
Yeah, that's the Road Warrior, we call it. Ironically, it's not because I've had it on the road, really, or anything like that. It just looks like something that Mad Max would have been playing, you know? It's the Les Paul that was originally owned by the guitar player from The Roots, Captain Kirk.
Right, very cool.
So he was playing the thing for a long time, and he was, I guess, I don't might have had something to do with you. I know you did a Heineken commercial too,
right?
I saw your commercial.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
They used it in this Heineken commercial where ton of people probably saw it. He was doing like an audition, and everyone, you know, he's going ballistic playing, and everyone was going nuts, and he throws the guitar on the floor and sets it on fire, and everyone's going nuts, and he takes a Heineken and pours it on the guitar to put the fire out.
That's great.
And everyone just looks at him like, dude, what are you doing? He's wasting a beer, you know? So basically, Matt does all of the Roots stuff, you know, all of their guitars and their pedal boards and stuff. I think he fixes just about everybody's guitar.
Yeah, no, I've bought several guitars from Matt. I've sold several guitars to Matt. Matt is just great, and his store is amazing, guys. 30th Street between 7th and 8th Avenue in New York. If you're a tourist and you come here, be sure to go there because you will not be disappointed.
That's the stronghold of guitars in the city.
Yeah, no doubt
in my
about
opinion,
it.
You know, so like I said, he's been very gracious to me, man, and I everybody is, especially since this Devin thing. Everyone has been so kind to me, yourself included. You guys,
thank you. Well, Mark, you've been a great friend. We met at the Gibson Guitar Showroom in New York City, and we've been friends ever since, and we've just been psyched to get you down here.
Dude, thank you so much.
On Talking Metal.
Cool. And now, Mark, let's talk about your friend Rob, who is here with you tonight. Where you guys, sounds like you've known each other for a while.
Yeah, I've...
Too long.
Go ahead.
No, we've known each other for what, 7th grade?
Yeah, 7th grade, in the homeroom together and stuff like that.
Wow.
Did a lot of stupid stuff together that we probably shouldn't be sitting here for.
Did you guys ever have a band together?
No, not really. It's like we played together a bunch of times, but Rob does his thing. I did my thing. And like we've tried to do bands, and it's like any time we've ever tried, there's always been something else that didn't work out. It's like, all right, we'll try this again in a couple of months when we have, and it never happens. But right now, we've been fortunate enough, again, as a result of, you know, what's my good luck with Devin and everything. We got some backing from some people to do, I don't want to say a record because we're not signed or anything like that, but just to put some songs down and have someone actually pay for us to do it. It's kind of cool.
Well, good.
No doubt.
The project's called Big in China.
Is there a website or anything for
that yet?
Not yet.
But
okay.
We hope to have that going in probably in like the next 2 months. Right now, we're just making all the songs and trying to get everything recorded right now. While, you know, it's like do it while it's while people are receptive and people want it, get it done. You know what I mean? That's what we're trying to do. And, it's not really a metal thing at all. Mm-hmm. It's not ballads, but it's just a rock record. You know,
cool.
It's like everybody's got their, what kind of music do you play? Is it alternative? Is it this? Is it, I don't know. It's rock and roll. You know what I mean?
Right.
Your foot will tap when you listen to it. Hopefully maybe your head will bounce around a little bit.
Let us know when you guys do get a MySpace or a website or whatever you guys do, and we will put it in a new section of the TalkingMetal.com site called the Wire section, where all things that are new happening to Talking Metal get posted there, and I will definitely promote that.
Thank you.
We'll have you guys back on either Talking Rock or Talking Metal.
Now, thanks, buddy.
And Rob, you brought us a very gracious gift, strings, capos.
I'm going to open the package
mugs.
Right now on camera.
Let's talk about some of this
stuff. A little goodie bag.
Okay, what do I got here? This is a D'Addario pint glass, which, as you guys know, we can definitely use.
and if you guys haven't figured it out, Rob is employed by D'Addario, a string company that I've been using for years and
here's
years and years.
A 10-pack of... D'Addario XL nickel wound strings, 10s. I know Mark uses those, correct?
Yeah, thank you.
And
we were just, Rob and I were talking before we went on the air that D'Addario used to have the contest, or not contest, offer.
You save the labels like Marlboro,
yeah,
right?
I'd save, I think, 15 of those and send them in for a free Till the Cows Come Home t-shirt. I had a bunch of t-shirts from
that. That was the best t-shirt.
Yeah.
Everybody loved that. We got to bring that one back. And we still do it. We still have all kinds of, you know, like you get like stools for your studio and stuff
right,
like that.
Right,
all the
yeah.
t-shirts and hats.
Hey, this is amazing. A winder with a built-in cutter because, okay, I've had a lot of winders but no cutters, and I always have to look for like a pair of pliers. This is awesome.
Yeah. You know, they actually, it's D'Addario Planet Waves, and Planet Waves does like
straps,
all the non-string yeah. stuff, cables yeah. and tuners and whatnot.
Capos,
and
the whole deal.
They're actually really smart products. I mean, like they're all guitar players, these guys over there, and they're all sitting there slamming each other all day like, that idea is no good. You know, you have a bunch of guys honest with each other. Get some good products at the end of the day.
Hey, I want to thank both of you guys because Mark had emailed me earlier and said, what kind of strings do you guys use? And I said, well, Mark, I think he uses 10s, and I use those hybrids, which are 9s on the light side and 10s on the bottom. And what do I got
here?
I
hooked you up, right?
Well, that's
yeah,
Rob,
you totally hooked me up. Thank you, Rob.
Man.
You knew what I was talking about, and I really appreciate it. Thanks, man. This is awesome. Yeah, yeah. See, Derek Hawkins of the Ace Frehley band right over here.
he wants to be your friend.
I got some strings in my back pocket. You can
Thank you very much. And then we have another friend of yours who's kind of in the background here from Century Media.
Yes, it's Mark Shapiro. He does a lot of the artist relations stuff. And actually, he does a multitude of things for Century Media, which I don't even want to say because I might downplay it. He's, do you want to come over here, buddy, or what?
No, Mark, very cool. Mark Shapiro, guys. Let's hear it. Give him a big hand. Give him a hand. Thank you. Thank you for putting out this great record. Thank you.
I'll tell you, without him, obviously, you know, he makes everything happen for Dev right now and for us, and couldn't do it without him, so.
Cool. And let's talk a little bit about the record here. Addicted is the new Devin Townsend project record. Who else besides yourself and, of course, Devin are involved with the record?
With this record, well, Devin used for this record because he wanted to just have, like, make a fun record, you know? Something, and he said something that people could dance to and, like, something that's heavy but positive, right? Not, like, it's got to be this dark, heavy stuff all the time, right? So, on bass is actually a great story. His name is Brian Waddell, right? He's Devin's closest friend, probably for the longest time of anyone, right? Everybody calls him Beavis, right? What's up, Beav? So he's playing bass on this record. Beav has played on 3 of Devin's past records, Synchestra.
Right.
You know what? I think, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Synchestra, I don't remember the other 3, but he played on 3 records. He played rhythm guitar on those records.
Oh, okay.
And then on this record, he played bass. And the guy never played, dude, he never played the bass before. Dev's like, Beav, how'd you feel about playing bass on this record? He's like, okay, he'll just do it, you know? And and you'll see him on tour. Beav is doing the tour on bass. On drums is a guy named Ryan Van Poderoyen, who is... it's the most impressive thing I've ever seen in front of me. And when I was working with Vi, I got to see some pretty great drummers. Abe Laboriel, I worked with Terry Bozio for a while.
Yep.
Terry's amazing. All these guys, great guys everywhere. Ryan is like a machine. This guy did the whole record. And there's actually 2 other songs that were recorded that didn't go on to the record. Ryan did that whole record in one day. Went and flew out the next morning to like the Dominican Republic, got married, and stayed on his honeymoon for a week. So
Wow.
When you listen to it, I don't know how much you guys have listened to whatever,
I've checked
but
it out,
the drums are, they're like a feature of the record. He's amazing. And you'll see when he goes out now, they're going to be doing a bunch of the songs from Devin Ziltoid, the Omniscient record.
Yeah, sure.
And that record, basically, Devin did everything on that record. That's all, you know, drum... Devin created all the drums for that. Ryan is having to learn this stuff now. And
which might be difficult for a drummer to learn something that was programmed.
Yeah, and again, he'd be the guy to do it, you know. And Devin sent me recently. I saw it on your website, actually.
Right, the rehearsal footage.
I mean, he is amazing. And then on rhythm guitar for the tour is a guy by the name of Dave Young. And Dave has also been playing with them. And Ryan, I'm sorry, Ryan also played on a few of Devin Townsend band records. And then Dave Young is playing guitar. He is like probably the most schooled musician out of everybody in the group. He plays keyboards. This guy's got like perfect pitch. He plays guitar. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And he played on key as well. He did all of the keyboards on key. He played keyboards on Addicted, and he's doing the guitar. He's an amazing guitar player too.
Now, Mark, what I wanted to mention is that you are going to be doing select festival dates, and that is because you are a New Yorker, and these guys were putting the tour together for the last 6 months up in Canada.
Yeah,
so tell us about that.
Yeah, well, everybody in the band is from Vancouver, and it was, for a little while, it was an awkward situation because obviously, you know, you play on a record, and then like most bands will do a record, and then they go on tour and they support the record after, right? Well, Devin is on this four record project right now. It starts with Key, then to Addicted, then he's going to do the next record's called Deconstructed, which apparently right now, I don't know if it's going to actually turn out that way, but he has a slew of high profile people playing on that record.
Right.
He said he wants to have 100 people play on the record with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then he's going to do a very toned down, almost acoustic, like quiet record. And he's toying around with the name Ghost right now for that record.
Mm,
and it's going to be a real moody type, you know, creepy type. I don't know, maybe creepy is not the right word, but just moody, I guess. And as a result, there's like no Addicted tour, right?
Yeah.
And there was no Key tour. He didn't do any shows. He did, last year at the NAMM show, they did four songs off of Key, just so people could hear what he was doing. But what happened with me was he had called and he said, listen, you know, this is what we're doing. I would love to have you come, but man, how are you going to, can you come out here and rehearse with us for 6 months? I said, no, I can't. I'm not going to be able to do that. And realistically, it would be impossible. The way he's got it going, these guys are all from Vancouver. They're all amazing musicians. He's worked with all of them before. And I'm just geographically undesirable for this. You know what I mean?
Right.
So as a result, I'm going to do a couple of festivals with him. I don't know. I know for sure Bloodstock in August.
Where's Bloodstock?
They're doing it in England. It's
okay.
A three-day thing in England. Looking forward to that. You know, playing live. For me, doing the record is great. Getting to see your picture on a record and hear it, and you know, it's amazing. But there's nothing like playing in front of a crowd, you know, especially music that you love. And another thing that kind of, I'm not a metal guy. I'm not a complete metal guy. And it's like, I said to Dev, I mean, when we play at Bloodstock, I feel like I'm going to get up there with you and the other bands are going to be like, he's not metal. Get him. You know what I mean?
They can just smell non-metal people.
They don't smell you is what it is.
Right,
so
yeah,
they know.
Totally,
you know
if
mean?
You don't smell, you may not play
it's
heavy metal.
It's the dryer sheets. I'm on a wild mic right now.
Exactly.
We got to get that mic fixed.
Yeah, I heard a band on like one of the stations the other day. I was listening to Liquid Metal. They said they were playing Addicted stuff on there, and they were talking to some band, and they said that they were using gallons of Febreze on the tour, right? They were calling it the Febreze tour, you know?
Wow.
It's like 20 guys on a bus traveling around. Not pretty.
Well, that's...
Back to the Addicted record, I just wanted to not leave anybody out. We were talking about who actually played on the record. Can
and
you
then
talk
Annika.
About... Yeah,
yes.
the great female vocals.
I know, I saved her for last. I did save her for last. Annika, you know, I never even got a chance to meet her because she did her vocals after my guitars were done. And I was only in Vancouver for like 8 days and then I blew out of there and then she came in but what could you really say about her? It's like the first song I had heard of what she did, Devin sent me Super Crush, which originally was called Nibs. When that song was written, everyone was eating these little licorice, you know, Nibs, the
right.
candy, and throwing them at each other. It's like, what are we going to call the tune? It's Nibs, right? So I heard that song first and when it's pretty epic, you know? And when Annika's voice comes in, it's like you feel like you're listening like a Disney princess, you know, sitting there with her finger in the water. And the contrast of her and Dev it's amazing. You know, I've never really been a big fan of bands that do, you know, the girl and the guy thing. But I'll tell you what, I love what she did on the record. I think he used her, everything that she does perfectly in the spots. And they recorded a bunch more than they actually used. But I have a feeling that may come out somewhere later on, too. I know he's planning to release a box set of all the four records and DVDs and
bonus stuff.
Yeah. There was a video camera rolling like the whole time we were recording. People were videotaping stuff, and I'm dying to see that. You know, it's weird. You go do this. I went there. I felt like I was a rock guy for 8 days. I come back home, and like 2 days later, I felt like it didn't even happen. I felt like I had a dream, and I was calling him up like, dude, could you send me one of those songs, or could you send me one of those videos? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
You know, people are asking me, and I just want to be able to tell them, you know?
Mark, another amazing thing that you do that I had no idea is that you're an artist. And check this out, Mark.
Wow, that's great.
Look at this stuff that he's done. I mean, there is some amazing artwork. Everything from comic style stuff to portraits to just Bud Friendly needs his mic to
play to the camera, John. Play to the camera.
Play to the camera. Here it is. Check out this stuff, Mark. Now tell us about your artwork.
It's my father was an amazing artist, and he didn't do it for work. He just did it because he loved it. And you find that, like, you know, anything that you love usually comes out better when you're doing it for that reason.
Yeah.
You know, when it's not work. And my dad was like a charcoal artist. He drew with just like chunks.
Wow, that's great stuff.
Thanks. With just like chunks of charcoal. And he got me started drawing. I was like 7. I did that for a long time. And then I started playing guitar. Dad and riding dirt bikes. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I hooked up with Steve when I was like 19, moved out there. And that's basically it. I stopped drawing for like 5-6 years. And I came home and I just picked it up again one day. I started drawing things and I'm still doing it.
Do you do mixed media, or what do you prefer?
You know, I only really draw with pencil.
Wow.
I was just telling Mark Shapiro earlier, because he's like knows how to Photoshop and all this stuff. And every time I do it, it's like by trial and error, and it's taken me forever. So I kind of just stick with the pencil. I'm one of these guys. It's like anytime I start doing something, I feel like I have to master it. So it's like I almost don't want to get involved with coloring things because I'm going to stop doing 5 of the things I do for a year.
I know comic book illustrators and stuff have a separate person do the coloring. You know?
Yeah, they there's like a slew of people. It's typically you'll have one guy who'll do the penciling.
Yeah.
Then they have a guy, I don't know if you saw, what's the Kevin Smith movie, Chasing Amy?
Right.
Where they're at the Comic-Con and he says, did you draw that? He says, no, I'm the inker, right?
Yeah.
And the inker is the guy who basically just comes in and goes over the pencil lines with ink.
Yeah.
So the colorist will come in and then those black lines will come through.
Wow.
And there's a whole thing, I roasting the guy, calling him a tracer. And, you know, he's like, you know, what do you call someone who actually doesn't do their original thing and they just go over the original artwork without deviating from the original stuff? Like tracer, but you know what?
But it's still tough to do that.
Let me tell you what,
but, yeah.
It's not tracing at all. It's really hard, and you can find 5 guys to ink the same drawing. They'll all look
different.
Do it different.
Right.
Yeah, and it's really, it's an art form of its own, and I can't do it, so.
Hmm. Well, this is some amazing stuff. Now, have you scanned this all in? What you should have is like a website or something with the stuff on it.
I know. I'm like so computer, like, I don't know.
Hey, but don't worry about that, because you make up for it in, you know, actual talent. You know, anybody can go on a computer and scan pictures. Like,
no, it's just like I'm not like the email guy. I know, like with you, I keep in touch with email because some people, it's hard to get you on the phone.
You're
a busy guy, you know. But like with me, I'd rather call somebody up and just, you know, something about it.
Unfortunately, that's usually me.
Well, normally
I
hated people who
song to iTunes.
That's true.
Yeah, I used to be 100% against communicating via email, and I have to apologize to you, Mark, because I am just insane with my, like, 4 to 5 to 6 jobs or whatever I've got, and sometimes the only time
Four to five to six. Yeah. It was growing, right, as you were talking.
I'm not even sure
how many I have, but the problem is sometimes the only time I can communicate is at, like, 3 a.m. on the email, and I apologize.
Don't apologize. You know what the problem is with me is? I'm so sarcastic, and I'm trying to be...
You're killing me, John. You're killing me.
Yeah, and I'm trying to be funny and sarcastic, and somehow it doesn't come across sometimes an email.
No.
And someone will read it and be like, wow, is this guy being a jerk to me? Or like, is he being funny or what? So it's easy for me to be, you know, just have personality and be like, hey, dude, what's going on? You want to do this? But unfortunately, everyone's busy, and these days, email and text message is pretty effective for a lot of things.
Well, anyway, I think that in the future, you should definitely have a website for everything, your own stuff, your artwork, your music, and we will definitely promote it on Talking Metal. And Mark, we really thank you and your whole gang for coming down here today.
Yeah. Dude,
and
thank you so much, man.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, and thank you, Rob, for the great gifts. We appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
And you too, Mark. We appreciate you bringing down copies of the CD and Mark Shapiro too. Mark Shapiro, right? From
Inside Out.
Inside Out. Inside Out is New York based. Germany. Okay. Wow.
Mm. And Mark, how is Inside Out and Century Media connected? Yeah, come on in.
Yeah. No. Okay. I can hear myself now. Yeah. That's weird. So Century Media actually purchased Inside Out and another label that's owned by Inside Out. Started by Inside Out, called Super Ball, more of an indie rock, Ocean Size, okay. Trail of Dead, those sort of bands, and they started working together last
Love
fall.
Love Ocean Size.
Oh, like, yeah. Great, I think they have a new record coming later this year.
They broke up for a while, right? And then they're back together?
They just take breaks.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so Century Media started working with them last fall, and I came on in November and started working with everybody. So it's still, you know, still pretty new to me, you know, new to the fold. I came in right at the right time, obviously, to work with, you know, Devin Townsend Project and all that, which I'm psyched about. So
well, thank you for everything. And thanks for coming down.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me. So
cool. So what song should take us out here, guys?
Off of Addicted. I was hoping you were going to ask that. And I was hoping you were going to ask that. And man, I'm very partial to Super Crush.
Okay.
That and The Way Home, I mean, I'd love to sit here and listen to the whole record with you guys. I know you don't have the time for that, but Super Crush would be amazing. If there's one, I'm going to pick that one.
Cool. We'll do Super Crush now, and then in the podcast version of this, we'll sneak in
The Way Home.
Yeah,
too.
No doubt.
Yeah, yeah. So here is Devin Townsend Band with... Or I'm sorry, Devin Townsend Project, not to be confused with band. Yeah, with Super Crush. Off of the Addicted record, which you guys should immediately buy or download off of iTunes. Just for a minute. You know what? Before we get into the song, though, let's get a Talking Metal ID from Mark.
Definitely.
Saying your name, your band, and you're listening to Talking Metal. Whenever you're ready. Yeah.
Hi, this is Mark Cimino with the Devin Townsend Project, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Cool. And this is Super Crush off of Addicted. What you just heard was our interview with Mark, who is a part of the Devin Townsend Project. That song right there, amazing stuff. Super Crush off the Addicted record. Guys, if you haven't gotten the Addicted record by Devin Townsend Project, get it now.
Definitely. So, Mark, what's on the agenda for your week?
Oh, nothing, man. Just... I don't know. My wife and I are talking about getting a bigger house already, so we're
Good
trying to figure that out. I don't know if we can make that move right now. They do say that the economy is right for buying up You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
We'll see. We'll see. We're looking around a couple different. I like the old houses, you know, but my wife kind of is more into the new construction because there's big open layouts and stuff. So
wow.
we're talking about that. I'd love to get a talking metal studio going in wherever we end up. Hopefully there'll be room for that. I want to return to our old podcast where you and I just go out and go to bars or go and get just blasted at your apartment.
Yeah.
I kind of miss
Let's
those.
Do it. I do too.
Those days. I mean, it's not like we're still living that lifestyle. We just haven't. It's become more complicated to capture it on
the podcast.
On the podcast.
Yeah.
John and I were out Friday night, right? At Bud Friendly, the guy who plays Bud Friendly. we were at his birthday party and. Definitely
yeah, it was
threw
fun.
Some back. Yeah,
yeah no doubt. After you left, I wound up losing my glasses and my bag. And the reason was that somehow everybody moved from one booth to the other booth. And I was like searching with a flashlight completely in the wrong booth for my bag. And then my glasses fell off.
Right.
And went behind some, you know, chairs. And it was just a big production. And then finally somebody came and discovered that I was looking completely in the wrong area.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Always something. Yeah,
classic.
I tell you.
Classic
I wish we could
astronomy.
Get a camera to follow John Astronomy
yes.
around and do the John Astronomy yeah. documentary. How about we start pitching that
yeah.
TV show to
right.
stations? I yeah. think it would be fascinating.
yeah, I'll give you another example. I went to a movie over the weekend, fell asleep throughout the entire movie on a date, needless to say, I don't think she was too happy about the fact that I slept through the whole movie. And then... lost my glasses again, and
oh,
it took
wow.
her to get a flashlight, and then she found them down, you know, between a few movie theater seats. So,
oh, jeez.
Losing things is a common astronomy thing.
Yeah, no, I lose a lot of stuff too, man.
Yeah.
Always leaving my gloves and
phones
and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways,
so anyway.
That's about it. Let's kill this small talk and move into another song off of Addicted. This is a song that Mark mentioned in the interview he wanted us to play. It's called The Way Home. I used to have a song called Way Home.
Yeah, Way Home was a great song. Yeah. By the way, guys, we should...
dig that up.
Dig it up and play it on another edition of Talking Metal, because back when I first started jamming with Mark, that was one of the songs that
yeah,
Mark had and we used
song.
To play it.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great song. I really do.
I listened to it maybe like 3-4 years ago, and
wow.
it had... held the test of time, I think.
Yeah, it's a good tune, man. I always love that.
Biased opinion, obviously. But
no, I say it was a great song,
oh,
without
thanks,
a doubt.
Man. It's an acoustic song, kind of. Yeah, I was going to mention one other thing. Please, Screaming Metal.
Yes.
March 6th at Dingbats. How you Clifton. Doing with the balls to the wall bass line?
Yeah, that one's coming along. I have to just really start kind of going over the tunes like every day. And I have to admit, I haven't been going through them every day.
Okay.
So
remember on that one, the bass doesn't really always follow the guitar. Sometimes
right.
it just does that driving thing.
Yeah.
So we'll work
Which
it out.
Which I like. Hey, if I can just do like
yeah.
riding the A, as they say.
I think we're going to actually have the new singer of Accept sing that with us.
Yeah, that's going to be great. We're going to have some
maybe
great
Metal
guests.
Mike will join us on that one,
yeah,
too.
So
I'm
let's talk. Let's tell the listeners who we think is going to come down.
It's always tentative.
Yeah, it's always tentative. We've got Derek Hawkins from Ace Frehley.
Is he going to make the trip out to Jersey?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
We
better decide what he's going to play and let Dan
yeah.
Lorenzo know.
We have been told that Rob Dukes from Exodus is going to come.
Yep.
We have to double check that with him because we haven't spoken to him for a while. He's been on tour. We have, of course, Metal Mike will be there
yes.
without a doubt.
Yeah, he lives like right around the corner from the place.
Right.
Yeah,
and then of course the band is made up of Alan Tecchio, Dan Lorenzo, T. Coombs, all who have been in Hades.
Yeah,
and Mark and John from Talking Metal.
Yes, and of course Nonfiction for Dan and
yeah.
Alan too, and
yeah.
The Cursed for Dan, which was
right.
his band with Bobby Blitz, who was scheduled to show up last time, had a family emergency, had to cancel.
Right.
But it sounds like he might be coming down to this gig.
Right.
We'll see. We'll see. He, of course, was on our TV show doing the Motorhead classic with
right.
us.
Which
Overkill.
Was one of my favorite moments
yeah,
on
Mike
the TV
Portnoy
show.
Mike Portnoy on the drum,
yeah.
Frankie
great.
Bello on the bass. That was a great jam.
Killer.
how could you go wrong with those guys backing you up, right?
I know, no doubt. And we have some other people that may be showing up as well. We will fill you guys in on the details as they become available and they're confirmed. Unfortunately, our friend Bumblefoot is not going to be able to make it for the second time.
He leaves that day to go to Brazil.
Yeah. Well, how about we do this? We postpone his flight.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, now he's out with GNR and Guns N' Roses, as you know, is one of our favorite groups. If you haven't read my article on MTV.com, go to blog.mtvmusic.com. Is that
yeah,
the
Yeah, why don't you just
site?
Link? Can you link it through
yeah,
the show
I'll link
notes?
It through today's show notes. Okay. Go to the site, check it out, and if you can, leave a comment. Let MTV Networks know what you think about that article.
Yes, definitely. It was a good read. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we let's see. We plugged the gig. We want to. I believe the live show is this Tuesday.
Correct.
By the time you hear this, so join us and Richard Christie in the studio on Talking Metal Live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on MarkStriegelRadio.com, TalkingMetalLive.com. We'll be there talking rock and metal with Richard Christie, Bruce Kulick, and the Morbid Chef. Please join us this Tuesday. All right, that's about it for Talking Metal. This is The Way Home off Addicted by the Devin Townsend Project.
Thanks, Mark, and thanks, everybody, for coming down.